Vicki Pierce has been the executive director of the Community Kitchen of Monroe County since 2004. On her watch, the organization moved into a larger facility. It expanded outreach programs to kids and seniors. And the Community Kitchen also developed a signature fundraising event, the Chef's Challenge, an event that this year is expected to bring in up to $30,000. I invited Pierce into the Earth Eats studios to reflect on her 12 years of service. So let's think 12 years ago. Paint a picture for me of the food needs of our community then.
Then we were looking at, in terms of the kitchen especially, we were looking at mostly adults, middle adults who either were difficult to employ, let's say that, either because they had physical or mental issues that made it difficult for them to maintain employment or to get employment, or they were folks who just had been transient enough and just, you know, really were having trouble getting a job. And then a significant number of seniors for whom, you know, they were at the end of their work life or past that and needed assistance. Community-wide, we saw, you know, some families obviously in need. But, you know, there were several pantries in the community. There was Community Kitchen. The food bank was working to make sure all the pantries had everything that they could use and get resources out. And I think we were in a pretty good place then. And then the recession hit. And so then everything changed. And we saw more and more folks who really were had previously been employable who weren't. Who couldn't find jobs. And if they could, especially in a community like Bloomington, which is saturated with intelligent, able-bodied people because of the university, unable to get jobs other than maybe minimum wage jobs, a lot of service sector employment, and a lot of that was part-time. And so we saw a lot of folks for the first time who needed services for the first time in their lives. But the big change for us was starting to see more families with kids in the dining room daily. 12 years ago when I started, almost never saw children in the dining room at dinner time. Over the years, that's kind of started to get a little better. But now it's still unusual to not see kids at some point during the evening.
Tell me why kids are so affected by food issues, food insecurity.
Well, having two kids who are almost 11 myself, I can, you know, speak from experience. They eat constantly. And that's what they're supposed to be doing. They're supposed to be getting exercise. They're supposed to be growing. Their bodies are growing and developing. Even if they're not doing anything, they're burning more calories than you and I are not doing anything because their bodies are changing more rapidly. And so they have to constantly be fed. And ideally, they're getting fed all the right things, right? They're getting the proteins and the grains and the fruits and vegetables that they need to get the nutrition that's most important and most valuable to them. But what happens when the family doesn't have enough money for food is that even if the parents sort of stop eating to feed the kids, if you've been to the grocery store on a limited budget ever, you know that it's more expensive to buy fresh fruits and vegetables. It's cheaper to buy them ultra-processed in the can with too much sodium and too much sugar. It's also cheaper to buy a lot of carbs and a lot of empty calories. And so, unfortunately, for some families, in order to keep their kids from feeling hunger, they end up having to buy the food that's not the most healthy so that it stretches farther and that they have food to eat at least and they don't feel hungry. They don't go to bed with grumbly stomachs. Unfortunately, when that's the way they eat, the hidden effects of that are that they're not as able to focus in school. They're not learning as well. Maybe their grades slip a little bit. Maybe they don't bottom out, but they don't do quite as well. And if you have several years of that, then you have stunted their potential at that point.
I wonder if the food that you're calling healthy,
yes,
that you serve at the kitchen has changed over the past decade as our understanding of what is and isn't healthy has also changed.
A little bit. I will say what we have served at dinner time in our main dinner meal has always really been pretty consistent. When I came 12 years ago, they were already serving a vegetarian option in addition to the main entree, which almost always has meat. The staff when I got there were already very conscious about sodium levels and about sugar in foods because they know a lot of our patrons may be diabetic or have other health issues that they're trying to moderate. And so dinner hasn't changed so much. What has changed drastically for us is the way that we feed kids. When I came 12 years ago, they were doing the best they could, but we didn't have enough funding to be able to buy food for all the kids programs. So it was what we could glean out of what was donated that we didn't need for dinner. And that's what they would provide kids. And so sometimes it was, unfortunately, chips or cookies or, you know, or Capri Sun, which is 10% juice. And so, you know, I remember one of the first changes we made, I think my second year there, is I said, no more 10% juice. Like, we're at least going 100% juice, you know. That's one step. And so over the years, we've gotten to where now when we provide lunches to kids this summer, they're getting a healthy wrap or sandwich. So it's like a whole grain wrap with, you know, maybe it's ham or turkey, which may not be, you know, it's processed. It's not the most stellar, but it'll have real cheese with it. And sometimes it'll have vegetable on it as well. And then they may be getting sugar snap peas or carrots or celery or broccoli. And then they're also getting a fruit. So it could be oranges, apples, bananas, pears, grapes, other berries, those kinds of things. And kids are learning that they like this vegetable I've never had before. And, you know, I like this fruit. And hey, it's kind of good when it's fresh. And buying milk and buying 100% juice. And so making sure that at least in the way that we feed kids, we're hopefully having a positive impact on the way they see eating in the future.
We're talking about the summer meal delivery program.
Correct.
Where you drive a truck to various drop-off points around the county, and kids and families come to you to pick up free meals.
Absolutely.
The number of low-income children in Indiana receiving summer meals in 2015 actually decreased.
Yes.
7.5%. So we've heard stories already this summer about why on earth are we not reaching these kids who need food in the summer? What's going on? The numbers are going up or the services are going down? What is it from your perspective?
From our perspective, the way the state requires that we provide those summer meals is really counterintuitive if you're trying to reach the largest number of kids in need. So the way that the Summer Food Service Program is set up at the Indiana state level is that we're supposed to provide lunches to kids in a congregate style, which ideally means, right, you set up a cafeteria in a church or a school or a community center and kids come to you. Well, that can work in really high densely populated neighborhoods where everybody's on foot all the time and kids have free rein to go to the school or the gym or the church or whatever. We're kind of semi-rural around here, and a lot of the neighborhoods that we go into are more rural neighborhoods in terms of, you know, the kids aren't out on foot traveling all day. Parents don't want them out that far out of sight. So, for instance, we tried last summer, to do the congregate style at half of our neighborhoods that we serve kids in the summer, and it bombed. It was just we saw fewer kids because once we went inside a community building in that neighborhood, as soon as we went inside, we lost kids. You know, I could speculate all day for the reasons that might be, but for us, it doesn't really matter what the reasons are. The result is that those kids aren't getting the nutrition that's right there. And so for us this summer, we went back to doing it the way we used to. We're serving outside. We're serving on a picnic blanket. If kids sit and eat with us, then that sort of complies with what the state wants. If they don't, we don't ask the state to help fund that meal. But we went back to reaching out to more kids. And so my guess is that you saw in 2015 those numbers go down because of that, because of the limitations on the way that works.
Talking about the uptick in people needing services from the community kitchen. On the one hand, we want the numbers of food insecurity in the state to go down.
Yes.
On the other hand, when we see more people in your kitchen, that means they're aware of your services and they're getting food that they need. How do you reconcile this tension?
So for us, what we really pay attention to are the percentage of our population that we're serving who are the most vulnerable populations. So we track ages and situations of folks as best we can. When we continue to see that we're serving high percentages of children, seniors, people who are chronically ill, then we're happy about that because that means we're reaching out to those most vulnerable populations, right? And so the folks in the middle who some of them are able to work and able to make ends meet, we see them only in our dining room. And so for right now, actually for this year in 2016, the meals that we're serving at our main location in Rogers Street on site, those meals are down from last year. We take that as a good sign because we still see all the seniors in our dining room. We're not seeing as many of the other folks, which for us, we just assume to mean, because we can't know for sure, we assume to mean are doing better and they're taking care of themselves in some other way. Our numbers are still up significantly for this year, but it's because of our outreach programs for children and seniors and the chronically ill folks that, you know, we're part of their best plan. And we're part of making sure that they're getting the actual nutrition that they need instead of just something to eat. And so we know we're reaching out to the most vulnerable.
Let's say you're in this job for another 10 years.
It could happen.
Maybe.
I like my job.
What's your goal 10 years from now?
My first goal for the next 10 years is to have the mortgage paid off. So we moved into our new facility in 2011. It was a $1.4 million project, and we only owe about $225,000 on the building. That's another $2,200 a month that we could put back into program. That's another 1,100 meals a month that we could provide with no additional expense. So that's my primary goal. You know, the community's been very supportive of us. We built that building on a couple of large gifts, but a whole lot of $50, $100, $200 gifts. And that's just kind of the nature of who we are. But I would love to be able to build up support in such a way through endowment and other means that there's enough ongoing, consistent support there that there's not the fear of the bottom dropping out.
Okay, I have to ask you one more thing.
Yes.
Several years ago, you said that onions were the number one food item that you used the most often and needed the most of.
Yes.
Still true?
That's still fairly true. I'm trying to look in my head at my board because there's something else up there that they've been using. But honestly, onions is probably still the big one. When gas prices soared several years ago, onions doubled in price,
what?
Almost quadrupled in price, and never went back down. It's crazy. I don't know. But that was the thing that we noticed the most because we had at that point, we were buying 50 pounds of onions at a time to use. And after that, we stopped. I was like, no, this is too expensive. You don't have to put onions in everything. and so they still use them the most. So that I, you know, honestly, the reality for us now, the last 3 years, is that any kind of vegetables are the thing that we're lowest on.
And are you getting garden fresh vegetables?
We do get garden fresh vegetables and we plow through those very quickly.
Okay.
This summer, we haven't seen quite as much zucchini as we typically do and squash. Haven't hit the bumper cucumber crop yet, and tomatoes haven't been coming in like they typically do. So vegetables really are the thing. Fresh, canned, frozen, whatever. We'll
anyway,
take them whichever way they come.
Vicki Pierce, thanks for coming in.
Thank you.
The Executive Director of the Community Kitchen of Monroe County. Speaking with Earth Eats ahead of the 10th Annual Chef's Challenge. Lots of links to follow at eartheats.org.